The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Shot clock down to 13, game clock at 22. Kuminga dribbles up top. Screen by Wiggins. Kuminga drives, slices between two defenders and scores! He scored it with 16.9 to go. Gets a chest bump from Draymond. A big bump from Curry. And it's 98-93 Golden State.
Wait, you're playing that now? Is that for the Warriors? Is that for the Giants offseason?
We ready for the T-Wolves tonight, baby.
Who do the Sharks
play? Five-game losing streak snap. Sharks got smoked last night. Oh, my gosh. 8-1 by the Lightning. It was 5-0 before you turned the TV on.
It's all right.
Hey, it's all right. No, I didn't say it was bad, but it just got smoked last night. Got humbled a little bit with the San Jose Sharks. But what a win for the Golden State Warriors. As we say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, here on a payday Friday. We started the week with nothing but frowns, nothing but anger. But on a Friday, football Friday, payday Friday, Bay Area Friday, we end the week with a big, fat smile on our face, especially if you're a Jonathan Kuminga fan and a fan of the Golden State Warriors. JK with the career high, 33 points last night. Second career game with 30-plus points. He's diving to the rim. He's finishing. He's closing last night. What a growth moment for Jonathan Kuminga. What a growth moment for Brandon Podziemski. Andrew Wiggins, 23-9, and the five-game losing streak is snapped. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning, everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. If you're getting ready for work, good morning to you, teachers, high school teams, play for a state championship, all that good stuff. The overnight dance, was, even though, you know, last night was Thursday, we got to get ready for a back-to-back. No time to see you. We got the T-Wolves on deck here, but JK Wiggins, what a win last night, Shasky. Oh, I needed it.
Monte, you're bringing up JK, and it's going to get lost because people are going to go with some of the highlight finishes around the rim, the putback on, I think it was the Buddy Hield missed three out of the timeout. I mean, so many little plays. I thought the way him and Kevon Looney, and Podziemski as well, boxing out Şengün and Adams in the fourth quarter from about 9-10 minutes until the final end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They did such a great job collectively of boxing out. And it's and only one guy gets the rebound. But to me, the reward of the three guys hustling their butt off to push a bigger... I mean, that guy's a load. Steven Adams is a load.
Steven Adams and Şengün,
and Şengün's a load. I actually thought they did a great job on Şengün overall.
Did. I did, too. They played Şengün well.
They did. They really did, but I thought that Jonathan Kuminga did such a great job attacking the hoop time and time again. And then, you know, the question is very simple. Like, You saw them flash a graphic. I actually screenshotted the graphic. I want to bring this one up to you. They're talking about clutch games. The last five. Oh, and it went black on me.
Oh, wait, I'll give you the number right now. Yeah. They were
dead last in clutch games. I don't know, 6 minutes
so
to go.
They've played seven straight clutch games. Seven straight clutch games. Haven't done well, obviously, in the last five of those clutch games. 10 of their last 11 have been clutch games. They're just 6-7 now in those contests. After getting off to a great start in clutch games, and clutch games are when a game was within 5 points in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, and this was another clutch game, and I'm sure a lot of Warrior fans thought, oh boy, here we go again, after they had a 15-point lead. They were rolling. They were rolling in the third quarter, and the Rockets go on a run. And look, one thing that I will say, one thing that we've missed a mark on this week when it comes to the Warriors, it's not for a lack of trying. It's not for a lack of effort. It's for a lack of execution.
Agreed.
On how they lost these last five games. They executed well down the stretch alongside J.K. You asked something yesterday. You said, can J.K. close a game? Can J.K. close a game? Well, yesterday with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green standing up on the sideline, egging him on to say, go get that basketball and go bring it home for us. J.K. yesterday, this is a great development. A great development, Warrior fans. Now, all of a sudden, when you get Steph Curry back, hopefully tonight, alongside Draymond Green, and you can run a set, and say, you know what? Let's go run a 1-4 pick and roll, or a 1-3 pick and roll. And that 3 or 4 is J.K. With him diving down to the basket in crunch time, he's strong, he's fast, he's tough to handle in the paint. He's got the mini, but he could also finish over multiple guys. This is a great development that now Steve Kerr saw with in front of his eyes to break a losing streak and say, you know what? We could close with J.K. in that lineup, and he's a weapon down the stretch offensively when we need a bucket.
So it's okay. I'm going to get geeky here, so just bear with me. I'm going to get Joe Shasky, X's and O's, like I'm a CYO coach. They have run this basic offense, and there's a variety of ways to run it, but they've run this kind of four-out, one-in, or five-out offense.
Five-out, yeah.
Where it depends on what the personnel is, but essentially, you used to see Iguodala or whomever initiate offense as they're bringing the ball up the court and dribble and then hand off. Then you'd have layered handoffs as you're going off, and you're just trying to create action.
For all the geeks out there, they call it DHLs, dribble handoffs.
In this particular game, I thought the subtle adjustment by Steve Kerr, you started the little motion with the handoffs, then you would bring that fifth guy, that loony screen high. So instead of a classic ISO, everyone out of the way, pick and roll, because not all pick and rolls are set up the same. This one started with a little bit of motion, one or two passes to kind of get the defense moving, and then the screen came up, and then you got Wiggins or Kuminga, you know, going downhill and then finishing crazily around the rim. And I loved that adjustment from Steve Kerr. And now I'm questioning in my head, okay, look, I get it. Steph Curry has been the sun. Everything orbits around him, you know, and he wants to run around and run around and run around. With the hurt knee and everything and his age, yes, you still are going to have to run elements of that. But if you can mix in some of what we saw last night with Wiggins and Kuminga playing alongside of each other, with some of this downhill action and some of this pick and roll stuff, you can see where this evolution can come. And now I think they've got a couple of varieties of ways of scoring with 5 minutes to go.
And Steve Kerr mentioned this yesterday, another weapon down the stretch with J.K. and Andrew Wiggins. So, you know what I thought last night as I'm watching Jonathan Kuminga, 888-957-9570. I would love to hear from Warrior fans about this. I thought Podzimski rebounding his ass off yesterday. Find a way to impact winning. If your shot's not going down, how do you find a way to impact winning? And I thought Pods did that with his rebounding last night. And look, against that Houston team, that's a top five defensive team, they're going to put ball pressure on you all game long. Well, you had one primary ball handler last night because Kyle Anderson only played 14 minutes, and it was Brandon Podzimski. And the thing is, he kept the turnovers down. So I want to highlight that. Only two turnovers in 36 minutes and 43 seconds of action. So give Pods a little love. 2 of 9 yesterday. Obviously, the story of the game is Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins. But I thought Pods was underrated last night in terms of his ball handling, trying to get the Warriors in the right set, and only two turnovers. I thought it was a gritty effort by them. But back to J.K. and the 13-22 last night, because it was reminded of me. I always mention this, but the first game ever at the California Classic with Tim Roy goes, I think we could see Ron Artest. Well, I don't know if I saw it right on our test last night, but I saw a little shades of Kawhi in terms of the defensive pressure, the ball handling, and going to the rim and being a physical beast. He puts so much pressure on the rim with his athleticism, and I saw those elements. I'm not calling Jonathan Kuminga Kawhi.
No, he's shades
of
it.
But when I see
it's
the
like
shades
me comparing,
of that,
you know,
and I
Taylor
see the shades
Mahomes,
of that, and you know, exactly.
Mannerisms. Well, but not saying that's who he is.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, he's cut. You said he did not. You said other things. You said other things. Spinotti knows.
Wait till you hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Caleb Williams.
Oh, wow. Oh,
now,
boy.
That is a tease right out of the Townie playbook.
That is a tease. But seeing the emotion for Jonathan Kuminga, seeing Draymond Green and Stephen Curry egg him on. But you saw those elements there. And one thing we don't talk about enough, we always, the narrative is, boy, Jonathan Kuminga wanted a max deal. And who does he think he is for wanting this money? You know what? I respect athletes. I respect players in all professions to say, you know what? I do believe I'm worth $30 million. I don't care whether Joe Shasky, Bonte Hill, Joe Spadoni, or whatever fan says about what he's worth. Jonathan Kuminga believes in himself. He believes he's worth whatever he's worth, and he bet on himself. And you know what? I respect that, because now he's basically saying, watch this. If you give me an opportunity to close a game, if you give me an opportunity to put the ball in the hand, let me close. Let me go to the rim. Put the ball in my hands, Coach Kerr, and let me defend on the other side. Then you know what? All the money's going to come your way. Everything that you think that you deserve, you will get it, and you will deserve it. But he bet on himself, and last night, you saw the flashes, and Slater brought it up yesterday. The last 2 years, we sleep on J.K. and the way that he stepped up in the absence of Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. He's done it 2 years in a row. So to see that last night, a career-high 33 points, this is a great development for the Golden State Warriors as they try to tread water in the month of December with this brutal schedule.
And him at the four, essentially. Like, I think there's a variety of things that are going on right now. Like, him and Wiggins playing alongside of each other. The best way for the two of them to coexist is running elements of these ball screens. They did more ball screens last night than I feel like I've seen in months from the Warriors. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's I was hyper-focused on that, and they've done more of it. Like, I'll listen to the tape experts, if they said, you brought up the Kawhi Leonard stuff. When in the 2019 finals, what Kawhi would do that was so impressive is that he would dribble either to his right or his left, and he would just ever so slightly hit you with that shoulder, and you'd go flying, and then he'd rise up and score. There was a play on Jalen Green with like the 7 minute mark, I don't know, 6 minute mark, where JK's going to his right, and he just stops on a dime, and he just gives him the subtle, what I call the little like shoulder lean, and you just see Jalen Green go flying, and he elevates, bank shot in. He was spectacular last night. The pass from Wiggins in traffic to Kuminga to finish over. I don't know if it was Şengün or Adams. I mean, it was Bonte, it was illuminating to see the two of them play that way. And then to not have a third score, essentially, because Buddy Hield did not have a good game.
No, 1 of 8. He was struggling offensively, defensively, just 1 of 6, 1 of 8 from the floor. But they needed him. They needed his spacing there. But you got contributions from Slow-Mo. You got contributions from Gary Payton II. Look, it was all hands on deck. You had to get down and dirty defensively.
Looney.
And what the Warriors did last night was out-physicaled the quote-unquote more physical team in the Houston Rockets. So that was very impressive. And they're going to need that tonight again against the T-Wolves. That's a quick turnaround, folks. But we got great news with Draymond Green. And we got great news with Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, all sides point to him playing tonight. And then Draymond Green, he has a possibility of playing tonight. His MRI came out clean with the left calf soreness. So that's another good development for the Golden State Warriors. But you know what? You know who the biggest JK fan is outside of the studio? It's Coach Vallejo. Oh. You know, Coach, I didn't even have to throw the number on. Coach is on the line waiting to talk about JK.
Hey, Coach, before you go, like, I thought Steve Kerr made the adjustments we've been dying for him to make in terms of setting the offense up to let this young man thrive. I was so happy for Kuminga. What's up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my call. And you both are right. And you know what I saw last night was Kuminga got a chance to play against his peer group. He's been playing against Green and Thompson and these guys all the way up. He knows what he can do. Now, what he did was he actually showed that his handles are great. Mm. He handles that ball left hand, right hand. I mean, his handles going to the hoop is on par. Making great decisions, wasn't forcing anything out there. Everything that they tried to stereotype and say he couldn't do, he did. Now, I think the two biggest plays that he made last night was that tip-in on the offensive rebound.
On the Buddy Hield
miss.
That
was critical.
Yep.
That was critical. And the other one was the shot block at the other end when he came across. Damn. I mean, so D played a complete game all the way around, not forcing it. And like you said, Kuminga knows he's a top athlete in the league. The rumor that he and Wiggins can't play together, put that away.
Well, Coach, didn't they see them last year coexist? They did coexist last season, late in the year, Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins.
And when you have those two together, you have two of the top elite athletes in the league on the same team. And this was no scrub team. This was a very athletic Houston team. Stuff. And you can see that you need those two guys out there together. I am so proud of Kuminga, and I hope it just put away all the stereotypes that he can't think, that he can't handle the ball, that he can't assist, that he can't play defense. He checked all the boxes last night. So that's a great game.
No, it was a great game for Jonathan Kuminga. Andrew Wiggins, 23-9. What a season he's having.
You were right about that.
But it's just, you know what? The personal stuff is, he's at peace now. He's at peace. With what happened with his father and everything personally, we don't know what it was like for him. We don't know his relationship with his pops, Mitchell Wiggins. But he's at peace, and he's got closure, and he's playing free, and he's playing inspired basketball, and he is engaged all throughout the game. He had 2 4-point plays yesterday. I mean, come on, man. This guy is hooping right now, Andrew Wiggins. So when you get those two perimeter defenders, and they can play offense and put pressure on the rim, this is something that you can move forward here. Now you got two lockdown defenders here, whether it's Jalen Green and Anthony Edwards tonight against the Minnesota T-Wolves, Dante DiVincenzo.
That's a group effort.
But you know what, though, man? J.K., Andrew Wiggins, what a game for those two guys, man.
And you brought up Pajemski earlier. One thing that I noticed is he wasn't forcing it, number one. And number two, the shots, he missed a couple shots late in the game, but I thought there were good shots, either in rhythm or because of the shot clock situation getting thrown to him. Like, just take that shot or else we're going to settle for a worse one. To me, it was the off-ball activity. He got some deflections in that fourth quarter and earlier in the game, and I just thought his activity was really good. When he skied up for that one rebound in traffic, I mean, how many guards are doing that?
12 rebounds last night. 12 rebounds for Brendan Pajinski, 8 points. He did what he had to do to help winning again. 36 minutes and 43 seconds. Some people will look at the 2 of 9 shooting saying, I don't know about that.
The
floor game, 2 turnovers in those 36, nearly 37 minutes of action against that defense led by Ime Udoka, who, remember a few Saturdays ago when the Warriors played the Rockets put a lot of ball pressure on Brendan Pajinski, flustered him at times in that fourth quarter in their rally, and Pajinski was able to slow down, make some big buckets down the stretch in that game. But I thought the 2 turnovers are just, in nearly 37 minutes of action, that's what you want for your point guard. Yeah. That's the message Steve Kerr had for him. And by the way, JK, he's playing 62 minutes over the last 2 games. He's got 3 turnovers. So he's taking care of the basketball as well. 3 turnovers in his last 62 minutes of court time.
And I don't know how many rebounds, but I personally believe that whatever his rebound totals are, don't show the full story, because I was hyper-focused on him boxing out.
Oh, he was physical last night.
And he didn't get, like, Looney got some of the rebounds because of the work, the dirty work Jonathan Kuminga was putting in.
Right.
And so, like, that's the Draymond Green element right there. That is the hallmark of what makes Dre great.
I like this from the 415.
Give it to me.
No, our boy. 415 Comcast Business Text Line. Kuminga had the best game of his career. Pods had an excellent game, too. It's not an either-or with Kuminga and Pods. And it's not. It's a team effort. They play different roles, and they have to do different things for this team to be successful. So as the Warriors approve the 13-8 and get a big-time win last night, snapping their 5-game losing streak. By the way, they beat the Rockets 15 consecutive times. Guys like Tari Eason has never beaten the Golden State Warriors.
The Rockets coming out to play.
The reverse Nuggets.
The reverse Denver Nuggets right now. 15 straight wins against the Houston Rockets. It's the second longest winning streak for any NBA team against a single opponent. The Knicks have won 16 straight against Detroit. The Rockets' last win over the Golden State Warriors happened in 135-105 with the James Harden and Russell Westbrook-led Houston Rockets. But look, man, Pods played well. Kuminga played well. They're playing their roles very, very well. And you saw a growth moment for this basketball team. All right. Looney's been excellent all season.
I thought Looney was Looney's awesome. Been, how about the pass he made on the fake handoff and he hit JK cutting to the rim?
I even like the move that he went to the rim. He missed the layup, but I want to see more of that. Go ahead and be an aggressive, Looney. Be aggressive, Kevon Looney. 11 rebounds yesterday. He's one of the top five. He's one of the top offensive rebounders in this league, averaging nearly 4 offensive rebounds per game. He had another 5 last night, but it's a feel-good win for the Golden State Warriors. It really is, because of a number of elements. 888-957-9570 is the number. Marshall Harris from the Midday Show on 670 Score in Chicago. He'll join us to talk some Caleb, some Niners, but we'll get to everybody here. Uncle Gene on the other side. He's got something on J.K. and Andrew Wiggins that I can't wait to hear from. I can't wait to hear about. That's coming up here on the Morning Roast. And shout out to everybody on YouTube. Boy, I wish the chat was booming today. I really do. I miss the chat. I think it's like 68 straight days without the YouTube chat. Whatever. Who's counting? Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. More coming up. Brought to you by Safeway.
This is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Josh Askey on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
I got you, JK. You just keep finishing like you are. What a game last night for JK. Andrew Wiggins and the Golden State Warriors. Just a really good team defensive effort last night. You improved to 13-8. And all I'm trying to do in the month of December is see these guys tread water because the schedule's not pretty. You got the T-Wolves 3 times in the next couple weeks. You got the Rockets again next Wednesday night down in H-Town for the Emirates NBA Cup. So a lot of growth last night. A lot of growth to see from JK, the C-Pods. Moses Moody got some action yesterday. We'll talk about him a little bit. But Looney, the starting 5. Look, you hold the Rockets at 93 points last night. 93 points in the modern NBA. You ought to pat yourselves on the back, Golden State Warriors. That's some great defense last night, man. But obviously, JK's the story of the show.
Yeah, he was excellent. Excellent in this one. I know before the break, we were talking about Kevon Looney. I just thought Kevon made so many small, really...
He's a winner.
He's
a winning player.
God, he's so
good. Can we admit it?
He's way better this year than last year. Like, last year, he was a little... I was worried. Like, I'm going to be honest, and I'm wrong, but I thought that his career was like, oh, are we winding down here? And he's recommitted himself to his body. You could tell he's looked slimmer. He's moving better. But the way that he defends, whether it's out on the perimeter...
Yep.
Underneath, and now if he's going to add that element of a little dribble drive penetration here and there, picking and choosing the spots, he's always been a very good passer.
No doubt.
And I just...
Underrated passer, no doubt.
I totally agree. And like, I'm watching this team last night, and I'm like, they don't win that game without Kevon Looney's effort. And I just thought that the tandem of Kuminga and Looney battling underneath for those boards, because there was one point where Steven Adams grabbed an offensive rebound and just put it right back up, and you could hear Fitz like, Steven Adams is a load underneath there, and then Şengün checks in, and I just thought they did a great job battling.
No, they did. They did. Let's take some calls here. We got Marshall Harris coming up from 670 Score to talk some Niners and Bears. That's coming up at 6:50, but the calls are lit up here. We'll get to the future focus in just a second, but let's get to Uncle Gene. Long time no talk, Uncle Gene.
What up,
and
Uncle
he has
Gene?
A suggestion. What up, Uncle Gene?
Morning, fellas. So, I want to talk about Kuminga and Wiggins specifically, but you mentioned Looney, so I want to say something quick about him. I've been begging for him to take that mid-range jump shot more often from the beginning. I mean, that was his forte at UCLA. I mean, if he could start hitting that, just think how that opens up the offense.
I agree.
But turning to Kuminga first, listen, Joe Lacob, I hope you're listening. Pay the guy. Give him his $35 million, assuming he'll still take it, all right? Because what he showed me last night was, to me, the complete package, what we've all been waiting for, all right? And most importantly, he's a closer,
okay?
He's got the will, he's got the skill, and he's got the confidence to close.
I agree.
And people like that are very hard to find, okay? Thirdly, Wiggins. No more talk about trading Wiggins, all right? I suffered through all that last year, the year before. The man suffered. His father was very ill. He just couldn't be present, all right? But now you're seeing the Wiggins we saw back in 2022, and I think you're going to see him for the next few years. Leave him alone. You could argue he had the best game of all last night, of all the players. Okay, that's all I got.
A good call, Uncle Gene, and we'll see him at the Doobie Awards. He's the reigning roaster of the year, the reigning morning roaster of the year. Uncle Gene, the Doobie Awards coming up December the 20th at Laughing Monk brewing in Sunnyvale. So that'll be a lot of fun there. But he's right. What Kuminga and Wiggins do, and what they're going to need to do in this conference, where you got Kyrie and Luka down in Dallas, and you got some dogs in OKC, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams, and you got the bunch in Sacramento with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan. You're going to need these guys to guard at a high level and continue to put pressure on that rim. You saw Wiggins late in the game. They're up 93-89. And Wiggins gets switched on to Shai Goon. And Shai Goon doesn't get a touch because Wiggins is just out physically him. And when he's engaged, you can't. Grown man basketball last night. That's what it came to my head at the end of the day. That was grown man basketball. It wasn't going to be pretty. You're going to fight for buckets. Both teams are shooting in the 30s. You know what? You got to find a way to win a game. And those two guys right there, you don't want to move that because your defense will suffer if you think about trading one of these guys.
I love the way he was knifing through off that pick and roll, and he just did a great job because they did a couple of high ball screens for him in the fourth quarter. Yep. And he does this thing where he kind of like this in and out dribble,
yep.
and he's getting downhill. And I love when he's attacking. When he's attacking, because he's always going to be able to do the step back or the just let me take three or four hard dribbles forward and then rise up. That'll always be there for him.
Yep.
And he'll be able to get that shot whenever he can. But attacking the rim, it just puts so much pressure and collapsing the defense. And then you saw it open it up for the JK cut. And when he hit him on that one, I jumped out of my seat.
And so Steve Kerr, we discussed tweaking maybe the end-of-game situations from a Denver Nuggets game. That's all we complained about really the last 2 days is, well, Steve Kerr tweaked some things, and he tweaked it. And JK talked about having the ball in his hands. And that was Steph Curry and Draymond's message to Jonathan Kuminga late last night.
They wanted me to go get the ball. It's that's how I got my confidence. They wanted me to go out there and just get the ball and just go from there. You know, they trusted me. That kind of boosted me. That kind of helped me to just be confident. And I took a deep breath and I just went out there and just took care of the ball.
He also mentioned slowing down and the game slowing down for him. One thing I noticed with JK throughout his 4-year career is when he gets more and more minutes within the game. I'm talking about in game. He'll start off sometimes, like last night, he got off to a great start. He was aggressive right from the rip. You see the first basket of the game, nice little pat in mid-range, the way he went about his business. I said, okay, JK's ready to roll. But if you watch every single one of his games, especially the last couple of years, he gets better and better as a game goes along. And what he said last night in one of the cuts, he was saying, look, I just took a breath. I slow down. That's the key for me. Slowing down and taking care of the basketball. Last two nights, he slowed down against Denver and Houston. And the last two nights, he's taking great care of the basketball. Just 3 turnovers over his last 2 games.
I want to obsess over what happened on the floor. But there's also an element of, I thought the way Draymond and Steph Curry were responding
big
off the floor. It was huge. And to me, the message is sent. Look, it'll always be Steph's team. No one is saying that they can't run all the Steph stuff. You could still do that. But if you're not mixing in the JK and Wiggins stuff, you're doing a disservice to yourself, and I think you're putting too much of the load on Steph at this point in his career. And this is where we were having this conversation the last 2 days. And I believe this to my core. Will you still be able to do Curry off ball and all that stuff? Yeah, no doubt. But I also believe that the tinker is occasionally having Steph play more of a traditional point guard so that you can run some of the JK and Wiggins ball screen stuff. You have to run some of that for those guys. And I think if there's a happy medium, you know, the Venn diagram where you have a circle and another circle and they come together and you get the middle, like the Venn diagram, the perfect middle is a blending somewhat. I don't know what it is, 75 Steph or 60 Steph or 55 Steph. I don't know what it is, but you've got to incorporate stuff for JK and for Kuminga to thrive. And I think it will make the game easier for Steph.
There's no doubt. And because you know Steph is going to draw the double team.
Exactly.
They're going to double him and trap him all game long and leave those guys in one-on-one or wide-open situations. Let's get to the Warriors' future focus.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors' future focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, this morning we focus on Jonathan Kuminga, who took over last night, late down the stretch, career-high 33 points against the Houston Rockets, including this sweet layup in the fourth quarter.
Over to Wiggins. Wiggins driving into Shepherd, bangs him out of the way, dribbles middle, handoff. Kuminga goes up and finger rolled it up and in. Ime Udoka wants a timeout. 83-76. Jonathan Kuminga with 26 points. 7-9 to go.
And the Warriors, withstanding the Rockets' rally, they're up 15 in the third quarter. Rockets came and tied it, but you know what? The Warriors stood strong, showed some resolve, fought through adversity last night against Houston. They get the win, 99-93. That was the Warriors' future focus, just like we love the future of the Dubs. Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. Let's go to Nick and Berkeley real quick before the break. Nick and Berkeley, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, man, I just want to say, man, we should just call him K-Money from now on because he was on fire, man. And to hear that the game is slowing down for him, that's the whole key. Because, like, when Curry unfakes these cats and they sky in the air like Paratrooper Club, it's, like, all slow motion for him. You can just tell he glances back, does a little sidestep, and bam, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Kuminga, I love the 3 points in transition because that's when you know they playing Curry style of basketball. And let me tell you something else, man. Green Bay, you are not it. You cats are going to wash out in the first round of the playoffs. You guys suck, okay? Detroit, we will be in Detroit. We will be in Detroit, Monte. Shasky, don't give up, man. We ain't quitting. There's no quitting our team. We're going to bounce back and like the champions that we are. Let's go.
I respect you. I respect you, Nick and Berkeley. We'll see him at the Doobie Awards. Nick and Berkeley's going to make an appearance at the Doobie Awards. Could he be the roaster of the year? Could he have the call of the year? Could he have the drop of the year? Nick and Berkeley will be in the building December 20th for the Doobie Awards. So take the day off right now. The roasters are invited, and we are all going to link up at Laughing Mug Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10 a.m. So you want to get there early because we are providing the food. We are providing the drinks, and we're going to have a party, baby, and celebrate the year right here at 95.7 The Game down at Laughing Mug Brewing.
Did you watch Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Yeah, the first couple seasons.
Because you're like, we're going to unite. Like, that's what I don't know why. It just all of a sudden stuck in my head. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, unite! Is that what they said? Or was that Transformers when they all unite?
I remember they said, go, go, Power Rangers.
Well, they, well duh.
That's what it is. Let's go to break.
Monsters, unite!
Was brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. All right, we're going to get to Marshall Harris. First, we'll get to Charlie in the refinery. Charlie's in a refinery, and he believes JK. All this talk about the number two scoring option, he believes JK could be that option. I want to hear why, but Marshall Harris is going to join us on the other side. 670 to score in Chicago, the midday show. I love Marshall. Saw him at Dumas' wedding. He's going to give us a lay of the land with the Chicago Bears.
It's morphine time.
No, it's not morphine time. You sound like you're on morphine. more
that
coming
would
up
be
on
me
team
like
by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Talented as there is, I mean, just the stuff that you saw in college, you can see in the NFL. I mean, as good of a thrower as there is, born to play the position, got the athletic ability to do whatever. He's got the speed to do whatever. You know, he's gotten a lot of playing time. He's getting better as this year goes. I think he's getting a lot more consistent. I think he's been playing his ball, best ball probably here the last few weeks. He's put him in a chance to win here in these last few games.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
That is Kyle Shanahan on Caleb Williams, who has been playing his best football over the last 3 weeks. 75-117. He's got a 64% completion percentage. He's thrown 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, while averaging 275 yards per game. And these are all coming against divisional opponents. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, 3 of the best teams in the NFC alongside Philadelphia. We watched Detroit and Green Bay last night. Obviously, Detroit improves to 12-1. Green Bay now 9-4. But Minnesota's got 10 wins on the season as well. So Caleb plays really good football. And the Niners catching Caleb, the rookie out of USC/Oklahoma, probably at the wrong time, Shasky.
I've never heard Kyle Shanahan hype up anyone the way he just hyped up Caleb.
Yeah, Josh Allen, maybe?
He said he could throw as well as anyone. He can run as well as anyone. Pocket presence. I mean, that was like...
Yeah.
Is he auditioning for the Bears?
Born
job?
To play the position.
I mean, is he basically opening? Like, I've heard him opine over Kirk Cousins at a podium. That's as strong as like a love connection. Because Kyle doesn't give you a lot, B. He doesn't give you the typical coach. Like, because some coaches just hype up every player you're going up against. You know, I mean, when you're going up against a Will Levis team, you know, you just got to be prepared for everything. Like, no, Kyle doesn't do that. Kyle's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, no, he's speaking about Caleb here, so. And he's right, though. if you watch Caleb Williams over those last 3 weeks, and look, Chicago's lost 6 games on the road. They're desperate for a win. They just fired their coach, Matt Eberflus, after that debacle last week in Detroit. It was just inexcusable. You knew somebody's head was going to roll after that situation. So you get Caleb here, who I thought
it's
coming
the Bears.
It's the Bears. You know, we discussed Caleb in the offseason where he went to a situation that we thought, I at least thought that the Chicago Bears would contend for a playoff spot, but he went to a situation where you have a Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and a Roma Dunze alongside DeAndre Swift. He's got the weapons right away to really perform here, so let's go behind enemy lines out to Chicago to learn more about Caleb and the Bears.
When you need to learn about your opponent, you have to go behind enemy lines. Learning what we need to know about the 49ers' next opponent.
It's the Bears.
All right, my guy Marshall Harris from 670 to score in Chicago. He does a little TV. Well, he did do a little TV. Now he's just on the radio side with Birdseed here. Marshall, man, good morning, guys. We welcome you to the River Islands guest line, and we know all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Latham? We appreciate you joining us. Joe Shaskin, the Butcher, Bonte Hill, and Caleb's balling right now, man. At least with all the nonsense that's gone on in Chicago with the firing of the coaches and offensive coordinators, at least you guys know you got Caleb for the foreseeable future.
That's the good news, right? I mean, you guys got the last pick in the draft. We got the first pick in the draft, and we'll see where the cards fall on Sunday. Unfortunately, I know y'all got some injuries. It's a long line of injuries, right? A long line of injuries that you're dealing with. Well, the Bears have some issues too right now with DeAndre Swift and DJ Moore not practicing yesterday. We're wondering if they're going to be available. And the worst news for the Bears is their backup running back, Roschon Johnson, is in concussion protocol. So they might be down to their third stringer, Travis Homer. But the Bears have not won on the road. They have not won in the division. So this is good that it's an out-of-division game, a chance to maybe two struggling teams, somebody's got to come on top and maybe get a check in the win column, if nothing else.
I did not know that. The Bears are 0-5 on the road. Wow.
Why? Well,
they're terrible. They're terrible on the road under Matt Eberflus, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
So now it could be a different thing now. So we'll see how it happens. Just we're still learning. You know how after something happens, you get the backstory? We're still learning the backstory on the Matt Eberflus tenure, and apparently the offense was just in shambles in terms of communication, getting plays in, lack of efficiency. So now Thomas Brown is the interim head coach. He went from passing coordinator to offensive coordinator to head coach in a matter of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And he's lost 22 pounds? I'm jealous. I want to know, like,
yes.
is it simply
yes.
– Did you hear about this, Bonte?
I did hear about
it. He lost 22 pounds. Like oh, man.
Apple vinegar shots. No, I don't know.
I don't know if he's fasting. I don't know if it's just the stress. I mean, the man's been busy. He's been recreating what they do day to day. Their practice regimen is different now. It's a lot of changes here. But as you said, the constant is Caleb. And really the constant here, because I didn't want Thomas Brown to get the interim job. I wanted him to concentrate on Caleb Williams because,
okay. Let's
be real, that's all that matters,
yeah.
Development and progress of Caleb Williams.
So let me ask you this one. Like Mike Florio brought it up, and everybody's been talking about it here, trading Kyle Shanahan. No. Like, I mean, look, we do this for a living. We have fun with these things. I mean, 888-957-9570. How many first-round picks does it take for you to consider trading Kyle Shanahan? What is the average Bears fan's opinion of that, of just that whole hypothesis of trading for a coach or trading specifically for Kyle Shanahan?
I'm gonna refer to something that my partner Dan Bernstein often talks about, and I think the Bears faithful believe this. No matter how good you are, no matter how promising you are, when you step through the doors of Hallis Hall, where the Bears do everything, practice and whatnot, you become a lesser version of yourself. So here's what's going on right now with the Bears faithful. They believe that whatever move the Bears make will be the wrong move on principle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. There's
no goodwill. There's no benefit of a doubt. They could hire Bill Belichick, and people be like, oh, of course you got the washed up coach that didn't. They could trade for Kyle Shanahan. It's like, well, of course you got Kyle Shanahan. He's not going to be able to. He does dink and dunk stuff. He's not going to be able to develop Caleb. The pessimism is so high for a large percentage of this fan base. It really wouldn't matter. Now, me, if you want to trade for a head coach, go ahead. Last time I saw a trade involved with a coach get going somewhere was Denver. It's working out right now for the Broncos. Sean Payton
I think anybody would tell you, if you have a nice young quarterback, that's a good guy to have. So all of a sudden, Bo Nix, for a lot of time this season, has looked better than the other quarterbacks in this draft class because Sean Payton knows how to build around any kind of quarterback, whether he's 6'5" or 5'10", right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would be excited to see them get someone in here with experience. But Thomas Brown, to me, is in the driver's seat because people are all, you know, lathered up about Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and some of these other young hotshot coordinators. But that's how they got in this mess. They got Matt Eberflus, who was a good defensive coordinator. So now they're just like, I just want somebody who's been there. I have two requirements of the head coach, two no-goes. If you have not won a Super Bowl, I'm sorry, if you've not reached a Super Bowl and you've never played Madden, you can't coach the Bears. Those are my two things.
Why the Madden? Why Madden?
Well, you did see Matt Eberflus coach, right?
It's I just wanted to hear it out of his mouth.
I'm with
that's
you,
all.
Though, dog, because okay. If you don't understand clocks and timeouts right. And what's going on, I mean, that was inexcusable in front of a national audience on Thanksgiving.
Listen, you look around the division, Kevin O'Connell, you've got Dan Campbell, you've got Matt LaFleur. They've all played Madden. They some things are just ingrained in you. There's a reason why everyone was yelling at their television set, whether you are a casual football fan or a diehard, on Thanksgiving Day, watching what happened in Detroit.
You know, our technical producer, Joe Spinotti, is like, Dan Campbell's never played Madden. I disagree with that because we had a rule when I played Madden, if it's 4th-and-3 or lower, you can go for it. You can go for it when they were playing your buddy. So if it's 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-3, you're all game to go for it. That's how Dan Campbell operates. Did you not watch last night? Game-winning field goal in his pocket. He's like, no, we're going to go for it. Yeah. We're going to go for it again. That's Dan Campbell's definitely played Madden.
Exactly. That's my point, though. It's knowing how to be aggressive and being fearless. Matt Eberflus, at the end of his tenure, and maybe throughout, but he finally had a good enough team to win this year, and he coached scared. He coached scared. The evidence bears that out, and he was I'm still traumatized by Matt Eberflus and having to watch that every Sunday.
It was that bad then, huh? Because that defense looks good. The defense looks
like
it's
making
plays.
Let's go back, Bonte. Let's go back to the Washington Commanders game. You remember that? Ended, right?
Oh, yes. Okay? Stevenson.
Yes. Let's go back. It's not so much that he made the wrong decisions and didn't have control and lack of discipline or whatever you want to say. It's that he would double down on Sunday in the post-game press conference and then triple down Monday morning. Think about that.
Yeah. He did that after Thanksgiving.
We feel good. Exactly. We feel good about what we did there. Who else feels good about what he did there? Oh, I know who. The Detroit Lions.
Marshall, what do the Bears do well? Because I know, I'll let you think about it, because I know what the Niners do well.
Not scoring the red zone?
Well, they get extended and then get hurt. They're really good at getting extended in terms of their contracts and then getting hurt this year in particular. I don't know what else they do really well right now, commit penalties on special teams. What do the Bears do well?
The Bears have a tremendous bend-don't-break defense. That's what they do well. You can gash them in the running game when it's, you know, you're in midfield or even in your own territory, but when it gets down to in the red zone, their red zone defense is pretty doggone good.
Yeah, and the Niners' red zone offense, it's not so good, as we're talking to Marshall Harris here on the River Islands Guest Line, the Bernstein and Harris Show on 670 The Score in Chicago. Midday show, really, really good as you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So, DJ Moore not playing here. How does he feel about the quarterback? Because we know he was a little outspoken for Justin Fields last year, and know a lot of Bears fans wanted Justin Fields out the door. How's your top flight receiver doing with Caleb Williams? How's that rapport going?
Oh, it's going well now because Shane Waldron was removed as offensive coordinator. And since then, you go look at the targets per game for DJ Moore. It's amazing how much he was not used as a playmaker. In my eyes, he is the closest thing probably to Deebo Samuel in the league in terms of the fact that when you get him the ball, he's going to make more yards. He's going to make a play. He's going to be able to sustain contact and make people miss. So now he's got, I think, 7+ targets in each of the last 3 games since Shane Waldron got removed as offensive coordinator. You guys are much more familiar with Shane Waldron than probably I am, having dealt with him in Seattle. But it was just the offense was terrible. You lose 19-3 at home to a Patriots team at the time that had the worst record in the league. That, come on, man. What the Bears were doing was embarrassing. And then if you look at what's supposedly the toughest division in football, they could have won all 3 of these games And what makes this interesting is after the San Francisco game, all they've got left is all three division opponents, two of them on the road, the Packers on the road and the Vikings on the road, and they've got the Seahawks at home. So Thomas Brown has a chance to really do something here because all those teams are fighting for playoff position, everything else. That's why I say he's in the driver's seat as far as, you know, another coordinator could come and be like, oh, we're going to hire this hot shot. But he will have done the job. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do a good job now. I'm just saying he has opportunity.
Would
not
Thomas Brown, would Bear fans want that? Because I know Raider fans are having second thoughts about Antonio Pierce, who was in a similar situation last season with the Las Vegas Raiders.
I think it's very dissimilar because the Raiders don't have a quarterback, first of all, of the talent of Caleb Williams. And Thomas Brown's already shown that he can enable this quarterback to do well, right? So I think it's a completely different thing when you talk about the Raiders and where they are. And
right.
I know they beat the Chiefs last year. That was their big
thing. Yeah, that was their big win on Christmas.
But so it's going to have to be more than one win. He'd probably have to win three out of the next five games and beat the Packers. That's probably the formula for him to be in the driver's seat. But also just how they play. If they play better, you know, they weren't terrible with Matt Eberflus. They just didn't know how to finish off games. And a lot of that was because of the coaching. Coaching matters in this league.
Marshall, what do you think of Brock Purdy? You know, your outside perspective. Because we're all over the place with Purdy. Like, he played awesome for a year and longer than that. He's played really well in some playoff games. This year's been a big mixed bag. What do you think of Brock Purdy?
I think Brock Purdy is good, but the difference between him being a good quarterback, as in above average, and being maybe an average quarterback is the weapons around him. I saw what happened when he didn't have his full offensive line and his playmakers available to him and the drop off there. But he looks pretty good when everything's flowing, right? I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. And so I wonder, and you guys can tell me this better than I can, you know, surmise myself. I wonder if he's going to have an Andy Reid type end of tenure in San Francisco, because we all know if Kyle Shanahan was fired tomorrow, there would be plenty of teams interested in his services. It's like the Mike Tomlin thing. People in Pittsburgh, every year they want Mike Tomlin fired. They want a guy who's never had a losing record ever fired. And I get it. He hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. But come on, man. The dude knows how to coach. He knows how to motivate his players and get the best out of his players. He just hasn't had a quarterback in I don't know how long. And you see what Russell Wilson's done of late, and it changes. So with Brock Purdy, I look at it the same way. Would he be the same outside of Kyle Shanahan? I don't know, but I know when Kyle Shanahan has him and the weapons that he needs, he's pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. By the way, before we let you go, we love stadiums on the show. We love, like, when the Midwest teams have open outdoor stadiums. We love when Buffalo, and the fact that Buffalo is not going to have a dome. They'll have a canopy, which covers about 65% of the fan base. Are the Bears and their organization really trying to get an indoor dome stadium in Chicago? Come on, you got to keep it outdoors out there, man. That's the allure of Chicago football. That's Midwest football. Marshall, throw on the beanie and scarf and the pea coat and call it today.
Cash rules everything around me. you already know the rest of the bar. I'm trying to tell y'all.
Dollar bill.
Yeah, dollar bill, y'all. Listen, you build a dome in Chicago. Every event that you want, everything you've seen at Jerry World, since they built Jerry World, is coming to Chicago. The NCAA championships coming to Chicago. The Super Bowl coming to Chicago. I mean, cash, man. We all like to live in this idealistic state. We all like to pretend like it's a utopia out here. But cash, man.
Well, that would suck. Honestly, that would suck because one of my fond memories of Bears Niners way back in the day, you may not remember this, but Joe Nedney going up for an end of the half
goal,
and it was so windy, and Nathan Vashner, that's a name.
Nathan Vashner,
I think he returned it like Texas. 108 yards, and Brian Urlacher laid out like seven people on the way to the Bears scoring a touchdown. It was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen in my life, and the wind alone, it made it just an incredible highlight. You guys were
Listen, and there's an argument to be made because gambling is a thing now, and I know you guys for some reason can't seem to get that over that hump in California, but sports gambling is a thing. And so wouldn't you want the most ideal conditions when you're talking about how much money is on the line for all these different games in your sport?
No, I watch snow like I had Sunday night.
I'm with you, bro. Listen, I grew up a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm with you. I'm about that life. I get it. But I'm just telling you, other people from other things are just creating other things.
Marshall, you're so good to us, man. Hey, man, I haven't seen you since the wedding, man. I got to tell you, man. Marshall's
hey, it was a
down.
Good time? Was it a good time?
No, it was a great time. It was a great time. Jason Dumas' wedding.
Oh, yeah, the one I didn't get invited to.
Yeah, no, he didn't get invited to. Him and Dumas.
And you know what? God bless Jason Dumas. He's living his hometown dream now. In Philadelphia. Yes, and he's talking for that man.
Hey, well, we're stripping his Bay Area car because now he's starting to talk about the Niners. Like, oh, yeah, Niner fans, they're struggling, right? I'm like, oh, okay, Dumas.
Oh, he switched up his tune.
Oh, he switched
wait,
up
didn't
quick.
Know, wait, talk about Vontae. How long you know that man? You didn't know he was a troll?
Oh, yeah,
didn't
no, know? I know.
I know.
But he knows the smoke is coming to Philadelphia and doesn't win the Super Bowl, so that's coming. That's all I got to hold on to this season in the NFL. Oh, Marshall Morris.
And you know what? The last time they faced each other in a playoff game, I remember what happened. It was very distinct.
Yeah, we know what happened last time we seen him in Philadelphia in the regular season. Debo scored 3 touchdowns and wore black out for a swan. So we're going to leave it.
For that too.
We're going to leave that it at that, Marshall. You have a good one, man. Thanks so much.
See you, buddy.
All right, appreciate y'all. Have a great day.
You too, Marshall Harris, 670 score, fun dude out there in Chicago as we get ready for the Bears. By the way, shameless shoutouts coming up at 7:45. Shameless shoutouts, man. Special holiday edition, or just a special edition? A shameless shoutouts. I don't know. It's a good time to give a shout out.
It's the Bears.
It's the Bears. It's the Bears.